The following is an encore episode of Hour 2 of the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. We hope you enjoy. Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, it's me, Kevin Turley, coming to you live and exclusive from London Town, London, England, not London, Alabama, or London, Arkansas. There is a London in Arkansas, I checked earlier. It's only got 989 people, though. Which is, you probably have that on this street, 989 people. But anyway, it's great to be with you on this 8th of November, 2022, your election day. Very exciting, isn't it? If you are going to the elections or voting in the elections this morning in any form or shape, we'd love to hear about it. You can text us on 251-928-2111. You don't have to tell us how you vote. We're not interested in that. Just, is it happening? Is the line long, as you say? But anyway, wasn't it great to hear from Shannon just before the break? And I'm now reliably informed that St. Lawrence Parish is across the road from the studio. So it's nice. Maybe St. Lawrence is the patron saint, one of the patron saints of Archangel, you know?
Yeah.
And as we said, Mike, he's a comedian, so that can't be bad, really.
And it's a God incident that it's right across the street.
It's a God incident. That's exactly right. Now, we're changing gears a little bit for this half hour because we are going to pray together. We're going to pray the chaplet, and we're going to pray for your intentions. Now, I don't know if you remember yesterday, we prayed for Billy Langford and Aaron on the November dead list. Okay. I would like to pray for more recently departed souls. So text in a name. That's all. Just text in a name and I'll add it to the list. And throughout the month of November, we will pray for those holy souls who have gone on. Pray for their eternal rest.
Hey, Kevin, so, just really quickly, in the studio, we have joining us again today, Sherry Jakeson, and we have a new member, also with the Archangel Radio Prayer Group, Rosary Prayer Group. Her name is Mary, and we also have a caller on the line by the name of Lou. Lou, I'm sure you have an intention as well to share with us today.
I do.
Sure. Lou, very pleased to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Thank you.
Where are you calling us from, Lou?
I'm calling from Clearwater, Florida.
Nice. And who do you want us to pray for?
For Marie Sampero and Johanna Siliti. Both of them had lost a parent within the last 2 weeks.
Oh, wow. Right. Do you want to text in the names of the parents, Lou? Because I'd very happily add them to the November dead list I've got in front of me here, and we could pray for them every single day in November if you want to,
or if they want to.
I'd be very happy to.
Yeah, that text number Lou, is 251-928-2111. Again, 251-928-2111. If you or any of our listeners would like to text in their intentions to the show while we pray this Divine Mercy Chaplet together.
So just to recount there, Lou, it's Maria and John that have lost parents?
Johanna.
Johanna. And the first one, sorry, I didn't catch it. Maria.
Marie.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, we will dedicate this first mystery of the chaplet when we get going. We will dedicate it to that. And to you as well, Lou, for your intentions, any intentions that you might have, any needs that you might have as well. And it's very good to hear from you in Clearwater, Florida, and I hope that you will call again with other intentions.
I certainly will. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lou. Okay, well, let's introduce Mary. Mary, very good to have you on board this morning.
Thank you.
Is this your first time on radio?
Yes, it is.
Are you nervous?
Yes.
Don't be.
Oh, I'm not.
I mean, listen, if I can speak on the radio, anybody can. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it's, but anyway, there's nobody listening really except Lou, me, you, Mike. That's it.
Oh, okay.
Sherry's not even listening. She switched off now. So, I'm joking. Now, Mary, I believe you're one of these wonderful prayer warriors of this rosary group that meets on Thursdays.
I am.
Sounds like a great bunch. Are they all women? Or are there any men?
There's a few men.
That's great. Myself included.
Exactly, and Mike and Bob. So there's
wonderful.
Three of us. Three of you.
That's fantastic. Mary, is there anybody or anything that you want to particularly pray for this morning?
Yes, I would like to pray for my children, that they may come back to the church, and also for my grandchildren.
That sounds fantastic. How many children do you have?
I have three, one's in heaven, and I have four grandchildren.
That's wonderful. Well, we'll keep them very much in mind as well.
Thank you.
So throughout the chaplet, we're going to pray for these intentions, Mary, okay, for your children and your grandchildren.
Thank you.
Especially the one that's gone beyond. And we'll also pray for all those on the November dead list. That's Billy and Aaron at the moment. And for this first mystery, we're going to pray Lou's intentions, but also for Marie and Joanna. Okay, so shall we begin?
Yes.
Okay. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Great. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Apologies, Mary, I got carried away there. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father, the Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. So, and off we go. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement
for
our
sins.
Sins
and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Mary. Now we got a message in anonymously asking for prayers for a young man, only 21 years old, called Jude, who passed away just a couple of weeks ago. So we'll offer up this decade now for Jude. May he and all the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Mary. That was our second decade. Now we've had another message through, anonymous again, asking prayers for Albert and Jan Reynolds. I'm guessing they're holy souls as well. Doesn't say, but I'm guessing they are. So we'll dedicate this third. It is the third decade, isn't it, Mary?
Yes, it is.
You keep me right. We'll dedicate this third decade for the repose of the soul of Albert and Jan. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Okay, we just had another message in, and this is, it's from Mike. We'll pray for Richard Jesse's family, Mike. We'll pray for them now in this this decade.
Thank you.
Okay. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
So Lou's just written in to us, Lou, who called us from Clearwater, Florida. And he's given us the names as well of Marie's mom, which is Margie, and Joanna's dad's name, which is Humberto. I think I'm pronouncing that right, Humberto. So thank you for that, Lou. And now we'll pray specifically for the repose of the soul of Margie and Humberto. And Albert, Jan, Margie, Joanna, and Jude will all go on the November dead list. And we'll remember them in all the prayers throughout the month of November. And just to remind you that anybody who wants to can text in 251-928-2111. And you can text in now and we'll try and get the intention on the air. Or you can text in the next 24 hours in anticipation of the show. The text will just sit there. I'll look at it tomorrow morning, and we'll include it straight away in the chaplet at 9 a.m. Central Time. Why do we pray 9 a.m. Central Time when it's the 3 o'clock prayer? Well, it's 3 o'clock here in London. The divine mercy doesn't stop. It's round the clock, round the globe, and we're here for you. So do feel free to text it if it's a bit easier, especially names of the dearly departed. We're always glad to have those. But also feel free to call in when we're praying the chaplet on 888-928-0881. And at the end of each decade, we'll happily break, have you on air. You can say what you need to pray for. And remember, it doesn't have to be big things. Of course, we're going to pray for your dearly departed. We're going to pray for those that are seriously ill or those that are dying. The chaplet is a prayer built for that. The prayer, it's a great prayer for those that are facing that final confrontation before they pass on. It's a great prayer for that, but it's not just for that. It's for people that are going for job interviews. It's for people that are about to do exams. It's even praying for your favorite football team. I think that's allowed. But it's also praying for marriages. It's praying for sickness. It's praying for illness. It's praying if you're working in a hospital or you're visiting a hospital. It's praying for your parish priest. It's praying for your community. It's praying for your rosary group, say the one at St. Lawrence on a Thursday. Why not pray for them? Pray for their intentions. Sometimes the secret problems that we don't talk to other people about or we don't share as much, they're the things that maybe we can just send a message to this show and say, can you just pray for this intention? You can give a vague generalization of what it is. That's enough. It might be an addiction that somebody's dealing with, struggling with. It might be a marriage that's going down the plug hole and it needs a bit of help. And, you know, our Lord is the greatest marriage counselor out there, okay? There's nobody like him. So trust. This is a prayer of trust. It's also a prayer of big intentions. Do you know what our Lord said to Sister Faustina, Saint Faustina, I should say? He said, make sure they know that it's a big cup. Hold out a big cup. Because the Lord is going to fill it. He's happy to have small intentions and small desires of the heart, but they're really big ones. This prayer is like a bazooka gun going into a wall or something. It's going to smash that wall down. It's going to make that problem disappear. It's going to help us to find a solution to whatever it is we're looking for. So do use it. Am I right, Mary?
Absolutely.
Do you pray the Divine Mercy each day?
Yes, I do.
Do you think it's a powerful prayer?
Oh, I do. I most certainly do.
Have you seen the effects in your life?
Yes, I have.
I have as well. You know, I really only got into it when I really needed it. You know, I don't know if you found that, Mary.
Yeah.
I turned to the Divine Mercy when I was in dire straits. You know what I mean?
Well, we tend to pray more when we are in, you know, in the bad times.
Totally. You know, there's an old saying, there's no atheists in foxholes in the war, you know, when they're under fire. Everybody's believing, everybody's looking for a blessing, and I'm not surprised. So in this final decade, we remember Lou, as I say, we'll remember the Huberto and Margie.
Right.
But we've also had an intention in from Shannon. I wonder if that's Shannon from St. Lawrence Parish. This St. Lawrence Parish must be wonderful, Mary. All these wonderful people there.
It is.
it's great. She's asking for prayers for Finn Baylock, who passed in 2019. He was my best friend's 7-year-old son. Oh, that's tragic, Shannon. Mm-hmm. I can't think of much worse than losing a child, to be honest. That's... So we will, of course, pray for Finn, and I will add Finn to the list today. We'll pray for Finn throughout the month of November. And do let his parents know, Shannon, that we are praying for him. And we'll pray for your intentions too. And whoever asks for prayers for other people, we're also immediately defaulting to praying for your intentions as well. So Shannon, Mike, Lou, the two anonymous people who have asked for prayers as well, you are all being prayed for as well. Okay. So we'll say the final decade now. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
So now we conclude the chaplet with these invocations. Join me in this, Mary, if you know it. Holy God,
holy mighty one,
holy immortal one, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Now, there are some optional closing prayers, which if you don't mind, I'm going to say. I didn't say them yesterday, but I'll say it today. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Mary, that was great. You're a natural on the radio. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
You do now. I hope you're going to come back.
I hope they'll let me come back.
You're going to come back. Listen, everybody in that rosary group on Thursday, you're going to have to tell them, you know what? Our sufferance is now that we're going to have to turn up on the Turley frequency on a regular basis and help out.
I'll do it.
The plenary indulgence.
I'm not sure there's a plenary indulgence just yet, Mike, but we can maybe ask the Archbishop of Mobile to give a special blessing or something for anybody. But you can offer it up, at the very least. Now you've done it, you see. Once you've done it once, it's easy, isn't it, Mary?
I hope so. Hope the next time it will be better.
It was great. Mike, what do you think? Total natural.
She's a natural. I totally agree.
Yeah, I'm a bit worried, actually.
Two thumbs up. I'm going to drag her in here next time I see her.
Well, there's just one thing that's on my mind, though.
What's that?
I think you're too good. I'm a bit worried that it might be the Mary frequency next week.
Oh, I don't think so.
Now, the person we forgot to bring into this, and I apologize, is Sherry. Sherry, are you there?
Oh, I'm here.
Thank you so much for organizing this. It's been great.
Yes, it has. But we have more Rosary Group coming in later this week.
But are you sure these are real people and they aren't actors that you've brought in here and paid to do this? Because they're so good, so professional.
I know, they're great. Well, they're great prayers. We pray all the time.
Well, that's what makes it. I mean, I tell you what, that's what keeps Archangel going, right? Would you agree, Sherry?
Amen.
Definitely. Absolutely.
It's the prayer. It's not the pledge drive, you know. Money comes, money goes. We spend the money, it's gone, bang. But prayer has a way of it's the best investment you'll ever make. Would you agree?
Agree.
Do you know one of my favorite lines of scripture?
What is that?
Especially when I look at my bank accounts. It is from the prophet Haggai, chapter 2, verse 8, which I'm sure you know, but I'll tell you anyway. And it is, all the silver and all the gold is mine, saith the Lord. All the silver and all the gold is mine, saith the Lord. And if you read that prophet, what he's talking about is he's in charge. He'll take care of us. He'll take care of our temporal needs. But as we've heard in the chaplet, he's here to take care of all our needs, if we'd only trust him.
Amen.
I don't think anybody's going to disagree. Mary, you're not going to disagree with that, or you, Mike.
Absolutely not.
We're all signed up to that because we need him. We need him. Well, listen, Mary, thank you very much for coming on. It's been great fun having you, and I hope that I hope you'll enjoy it the next time you come as much as you did this time. Sherry, thank you for organizing this. It's a great treat for me that you're able to wheel in such wonderful talent, prayer talent. And Mike, as always, thank you for all you do behind the scenes, keeping everything on the road.
Glad to do it. Glad to do it. What we're creating, like I said to you, Kevin, before we began this show, is what we're creating. We're trying to create a masterpiece for God. That's what this station is. It's a masterpiece for God. And, you know, people like Sherry and Mary and our caller Lou and all of our callers, Shannon, they're participating in this masterpiece that we are creating. And it's our listeners, you know, that help us in that creating that masterpiece. So we thank you all.
I couldn't agree more, Mike. Whether you're listening in your car, whether you're out walking, listening on a headset, whether you're sitting on your porch, listening on the old gramophone or type thing, whatever it is, you are as much part of this show as I am. And you're as much part of this station as anybody. Because a radio station, a radio show without listeners would be, well, it would be me talking to myself again, and that's not a good look, right? So we love to have you on air on 888-928-0881. And for those that perhaps don't feel quite ready for that challenge yet, there's always the text line 251-928-2111. And we're so glad to hear from you. Really, this is like a party, and we want everybody to enjoy it. The banquet is ready. And we have to go out to the hedgerows to bring you in, as the good book says. And we're very happy to do so. Why? Well, we think you'll enjoy the party and you'll enjoy the prayer. And hopefully you'll enjoy some of the company you're going to meet. Now, to give you some heads up for tomorrow, it is the election aftermath tomorrow. And I have the DC correspondent from the National Catholic Register, Loretta Brown. She's going to be coming along, giving us some incisive comment and analysis of what has just taken place today. So that's something to look forward to tomorrow at the start of the show. But when I come back, I'm going to give you a story about those abortion centers and the pro-life witness outside. So stay tuned to Archangel, back after these words.
Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back to All That's Good, True, and Beautiful here on the Turley Frequency. We also have a little bit of the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'll talk to you a little bit about the ugly in a moment. But it's so good to have your company, and enjoying very much being with you this morning. Now, what I should have said was, of course, you know, we have people listening on radios, listening on mobile phones, but we have people listening on the Archangel app, which you should go today and download, and then you can stream this program and all the good programming in Archangel Radio 24/7. And if you're listening on your computer while you're working or whatever, you're very welcome as well. Everybody's welcome. And remember, this show is not just for Catholics. Southern Baptists, Northern Baptists, Western Baptists, any form of Catholicism, Christianity, any form of belief, non-belief, you're welcome. We like people who are curious. We like people who are just interested in the world, just as we are. Okay? Now, talking of being interested in the world, before the chaplet, I was telling you about that abortion center in Bournemouth, which has set up a so-called buffer zone to keep pro-lifers out, to keep the holy water out, to keep the scriptures out, to keep prayer out. Why? Because they know the power of these things. The evil one knows the power of these Christian sacramentals, these Catholic sacramentals. That's why. And I want to tell you a story. It's a true story. I met the woman in question. The story begins in the winter of 2011. And it involves a young Romanian woman. Her name's Elena. And she was trudging down a London street. She was 8 weeks pregnant. And she was on her way to an abortion center. Now, as she walked, tears came into her eyes. She steadied herself as best she could. I remember how she described that to me. All around was the hustle and bustle of a London street. And she was leaning against a wall, crying. Nobody paid any attention to her. She was alone. Remember, 8 months pregnant, on her way to an abortion center. That day, she said she felt there were two competing voices inside her head. One telling her to stop and turn back. And another telling her to proceed and to have the abortion. Finally, the street she had been searching for came into view. I know this street. I know exactly where she was. And as she drew near to the doorway of the abortion center, a woman approached her. She was from a pro-life group called the Good Counsel Network. Good people, I know them, been to their center many times. And this woman held out a leaflet to this Romanian younger woman. And on the leaflet, there was an image of a baby in a womb. Now, Elena recognized the image instantly. For just a few weeks previously, she had gone for a scan. She'd seen the image on the screen of her unborn baby. She said to me that in the hospital, when she saw that scan and saw the baby on the screen, she felt this leap of joy. Unexpected. Joy. Mother glimpsing child. Reminded me of what it says in the Gospels about the leap of John the Baptist. But this was a mother's leap of the heart. So when she saw the stranger holding this photograph, she turned to the stranger and asked her and said, "Can you help me?" And the woman, the stranger to her, said, "Yes, I can help you." And the two began exchanging information and phone numbers and all the rest of it. Just at that moment, the door of the abortion center flew open. This is what she told me. And an employee of the center emerged onto the step, I know that step, and stood glaring at the two women talking. But the older woman, the one who had offered to help Elena, continued to look straight at Elena. And taking something from her pocket, she handed it to the younger woman. What was it? It was a pink plastic rosary. Elena took it. Elena wasn't even Catholic. She was barely Christian, but she still took it. And as she did so, she turned to the abortionist in the doorway and said, "They can help me." And with that, Elena headed back down the street, away from the abortion center, accompanied by the woman whom she had just met. And all the while, in her hand, Elena clutched the gift of the rosary. But, sadly, that was not the end of the matter. You see, days later, Elena would return to that same place. Because the voices in her head, do you remember? the good voice telling her to stop and the not so good voice telling her to proceed. They continued incessantly. And that negative voice told her that the promises of help, advice, support were too good to be true. Furthermore, the voice inside her head, and I remember her telling me this, kept saying to her, you can't look after a baby. You're too young. You've got your life ahead of you. All these subtle lies, but they were having an impact. But let's go back a couple of months and just see what a desperate situation Elena was in when she turned up that day at the abortion center. She told me the exact day on which she found out that she was pregnant. It was October 3rd. When she did the test, she couldn't believe it. She told me she actually fainted and collapsed. She immediately telephoned the father of the child. His response, quotes, you have to have an abortion. That was all he said to her. But she didn't want one. Even then, she felt instinctively that it was wrong. And she tried to explain to him over the telephone that she wished to carry on with her pregnancy. He laughed down the phone at her, mockingly, telling her it was her predicament, nothing to do with him. On that morning, everything changed for Elena. She discovered she was pregnant. Her then boyfriend that she thought cared for her was no more. But it got worse. You see, Elena worked as a nanny in London. Remember, she was Romanian? She'd come to this country as a nanny. So she lived with the family to which she was nanny. They were the people who provided her employment. They also provided her accommodation, her food, and obviously her wages. Now, up until then, her employers were more than happy with her work. They were delighted with her, in fact. So much so that they really made her feel like she was part of the family. She had a job, money, accommodation. Everything seemed fine. Until the day she told them she was pregnant. Immediately, they asked her to leave. She was now on the streets. She was pregnant, homeless, unemployed, and in a foreign country. She called her parents in Romania. They told her to have an abortion. They didn't want to know. You know, it's easy to judge people. But until you know the full circumstances of what they're living through or the pressures they're under, not in any way justifying the choices that are made, but sometimes people are driven over the edge. And that day, Elena felt, I remember her explaining this to me, she had no alternatives. So in the end, she booked an appointment at one of these abortion centers. So even though she'd had these offers of help, she just didn't quite believe that they were really going to help her. And the voices inside her head kept telling her that the abortion was the solution, the easy option, the way out of her predicament. So she booked it. The procedure was going to happen on a certain day, and she returned to that same center which she had walked away from just a few days earlier. This time when she walked up to the center's door, the same woman who had given her the rosary was standing there. But this time, Elena walked straight past her. She walked straight past her and inside the abortion center. I know that building. It's a large Victorian building with a very, very thick door. which is always closed except when the women go through it and then slams shut very quickly after they enter. So now she was inside an abortion center and she told me exactly what it was like. She said, first of all, there was a center receptionist who looked bored, who handed Elena a form to fill out and then sent her off to some, what she described as a dingy waiting room. Elena is a very nice young woman when you meet her, but she's a woman who's not given to kind of florid descriptions. And I have to say this because what she said next was very, very alarming. But she told it to me with a passion and with a truthfulness that I cannot in any way gainsay. And it's this. She remembers sitting in this dingy waiting room feeling distinctly uneasy. She'd felt that unease from the moment she had entered this facility. She said to me it was as if the center walls were closing in on her, suffocating her, crushing the very life within her. So she sat there with the form in her hand, and then suddenly her cell phone lit up. And it said, "We can help you. We can help you today. We can help you now." Now, do you remember the woman who met her outside? Do you remember they exchanged telephone numbers? That woman was now standing outside this facility, texting her. "We can help you. We can help you today. We can help you now. It's not too late." Elena knew immediately where this message had come from. She also knew that that woman was standing just outside that door, and she was still wanting to help her. Elena got up. She got up. She decided, "I've got to get out of here." But just as she did, a center employee who had been watching her closely stood up and approached her. And Elena said, "I've got to leave." And the woman began presenting reason after reason why Elena had to have an abortion. This woman was insistent and persistent. This woman even grabbed the arm of Elena, insisting she had to go through with the abortion. But paradoxically, that was the moment that changed everything for Elena. For as she stood there, looking into the face of another woman who was urging her to kill her unborn child, Elena's thoughts turned to the other woman standing outside that door who wanted only to care both for her and the child she carried in her womb. And with that, Elena felt a wave of revulsion at the place in which she stood. She looked around at the dingy, grubby walls and into the face of this woman insisting she go through with it. And Elena dropped the form, turned, and walked straight out the door. She never returned. Soon after, Elena was found a place to live by the pro-life witnesses who had been outside. They organized financial assistance for her. They gave her assistance and support in attending various medical appointments. They helped her practically and emotionally through her pregnancy until, some months later, at a very different London facility, a London hospital, a smiling baby was placed gently into the welcoming arms of Elena. Now, subsequently in the years since her unplanned pregnancy, Elena began to stand outside abortion centers, and in particular, outside the abortion center that she had gone to in the center of London. And she had offered assistance to those entering that same place that she had years previously. Sometimes, in prayerful vigil, she would stand for hours outside those places, alongside that older woman who had helped her. And all the while she did this, Elena carried with her one small item, one that has grown more precious as the years have passed, from when it was presented to her on a bleak winter's day outside an abortion center. And that small item is a pink plastic rosary. I've met Elena. She's living proof that the people who are outside abortion centers are not in any way there to humiliate, to hinder, or to upset anyone. They're there to help in practical ways, in emotional ways. But it gets better, because as the years rolled on, Elena discovered her Christian faith. She had been brought up as an Orthodox, but she eventually converted to the Catholic faith. And why did she do that? I asked her. Because of the fact that the people outside that day were Catholics. They helped her. They helped her emotionally, practically, but most of all, they helped her spiritually from making a terrible mistake. I saw a photograph. She showed me a photograph of her child, young girl now, a few years older. And a more happier mother and daughter you could not wish to see. Her life has moved on in other ways. She's, I think, now in a stable relationship and is much happier, in a much better place. But that moment on that London street was pivotal. It changed the course of her life forever. And needless to say, it changed the course of her daughter's life in an even greater extent. Now, the place that she came to is a place which was in a street called Whitfield Street, just off the centre of London. If anybody knows the centre of London, it's near Tottenham Court Road. I used to walk past it many a time, and it would always give me a sad feeling when I'd walk past it. I'd always try and pray the rosary as I was walking past it. Occasionally, I would see people praying outside it, and I'd stop. And initially they thought I was going to harangue them or speak ill of them, as so many people did that walked past those pro-life witnesses. But I'd always say to them, "You guys are amazing." And they'd look at me, "Who are you?" And then I'd whip out my plastic rosary and say, "I'm with you guys. This is the best thing you can do. Pray outside it." But there's a happy ending, because at the end of May 2021, rumors began to circulate that abortion center was closed. Now, you've got to remember the significance of this place. It wasn't just any old abortion center. It was one of the first ever created by a woman called Mary Stopes, who is a bit like Margaret Sanger in the United States. And a birth control clinic had been opened at that site in the 1920s. And by the 1970s, it had become an abortion center, very much. So its closing was extremely important and impressive for the pro-life witness that had gathered for many years outside, praying for its closure. Without any hassle to anyone, without the police being called ever, no need for buffer zones, they literally just prayed across the road. I saw them. The vigil often consisted of perhaps just one or two people, normally women, praying, sometimes on their knees outside the building, as well as handing out plastic rosaries to anyone who would take one. All watched over by an icon of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And I don't need to tell you the significance of that, right? That's something we've imported from the New World of Americas, and we're very grateful for it. But there's another twist to it. You see, I know one of the people involved in that vigil, and he had another great devotion. He was a great pro-lifer, but he had another great devotion, and it was to G.K. Chesterton. And he really does think that G.K. Chesterton should be a saint, and he would often tell people to pray to G.K. Chesterton or ask for G.K. Chesterton's intercession. Now, G.K. Chesterton is not a saint, not officially, but he is obviously a holy soul, and we can ask for his prayers. But the date of the rumors that this address had begun to be closed was May 29th, which just happened to be the vigil of G.K. Chesterton's birthday. Now, you might say coincidence, perhaps, but there was another aspect to it. If you were in London, one of the things you might notice is the proliferation of estate agent signs, which say, estate agents are realtors in this part of the world, and they're Chestertons. It's a very big chain of people who sell property, rent property. It's called Chestertons. And it has a distant connection to the Chesterton family, to G.K. Chesterton's family. I think it was some distant relative of his that started it. And the name persists. Well, you can imagine my friend's surprise, nay, delight, when the people who were selling the former abortion center were Chesterton's estate agents. And he said to me, for the last 3 years, we asked people to pray to G.K. Chesterton for the closure of this abortion center. And I turned to him and said, well, now, seemingly, it has. So whether it's practical support in real time or spiritual support in from the eternal hereafter, we'll take anything that's going. Listen, whatever way you vote today, make sure you vote for life. We all want to live. We all want to live. And as they say in Ireland, vote early and vote often. Okay. That's it from the Turley Frequency today. I really hope you've enjoyed it. It's been an absolute delight on my part to meet so many new callers. We got Shannon, we got Lou, we had Mary with us in the chaplet. We had, of course, Sherry and Mike keeping the show on the road. And behind the scenes, we've had Michelle and Ellen and all sorts of other good people helping out, to say nothing of all you people who are listening and praying for the success of the Archangel Radio Apostolate. Looking forward to doing it all again tomorrow with you. Tomorrow we have, as I say, we've got Loretta coming on to talk elections, but we've also got somebody coming on to talk about food. Yes, food. We all love food. We cannot live by bread alone, but we like some other food as well. We'll do the chaplet as usual. And then after that, I'm going to tell you the connection between the Titanic and the Divine Mercy chaplet. Yes, there's a connection. And I'm going to tell you all about that tomorrow. So until then, from a very dry, surprisingly bright London, I bid you farewell. And tomorrow we will pray for everybody on the November dead list. Remember to send me some messages. Feel free. Drop them to me in the next 24 hours. We're open always. And as I said to you yesterday, we're an equal opportunities listener. And as far as the chaplet's concerned, we're an equal opportunities prayer for anybody who needs it. And we're only too happy to do so. So until we meet again tomorrow, have a wonderful day and God bless you.